Yeah, maybe we'll put you in the blooper. Do you want to say anything? And we'll put you on speaker. 1 second. Go on. What? Do you want to say something for the blooper? That's the blooper.
Welcome back, guys, to episode number 56 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy Cash, with a K and not a C. Who are we here with today?
It's your boy Fat Mouse. And if you haven't noticed, that's the first time Cash has introduced the podcast. Well done, son.
It was nerve-wracking, man. I'll be honest.
Took a couple of takes, I'm not even going to lie. But
it's weird. It's weird because it just seems like it'd be so easy to do.
Come on.
And then when you're doing it, I started like saying it backwards and started mumbling on my words. I was trembling in the whole fear. Thing. And I'm a bit under the weather as well, so my brain's a bit discombobulated.
Okay.
I took a shot from Jake Paul. We sparred yesterday.
Alright then.
We're here.
Here we are. Episode 56, like our fine friend Cash just said.
I'm fine.
It's good stuff, man.
We had a great weekend.
We had a fantastic weekend, I'm not going to lie. So, I don't even know where to start. UFC, boxing... Kick it off with the boxing because
we're Misfits.
Boom. Okay, what did we have? Let's just go from the top, really and truly. Nothing else worth mentioning.
I mean, no, the card was fun.
It was a fun card. No, it was. Actually, legit was a fun card.
Yeah. The whole card was fun. Some good scraps on there. But obviously, everybody was there for the main event. The big man returning, KSI. Obviously, originally scheduled to fight Dylan Danis. We discussed that on the episode.
I think
previously.
We only touched on it briefly, to be honest. I'd rather speak a little bit more, but I'm just, what do I say? Like, I don't mind Dylan Danis, innit? I'm very let down by what he did because he's just now lost a lot of credibility. Yeah. There was an interview with Scott Coker and Ariel Helwani, and he was just saying, yeah, we'll give him a chance. It's not like he's not going to fight for us again, but he's going to have to start from somewhere low now. And to really prove that he's here to train and here to compete and here to fight.
Yeah.
So I just don't have much faith in that anyway, but who is he? It's not like he was a top, you know, a top competitor, highest level. So whatever in it. But it's just a shame because I did want to see an actual fight. I didn't know the other guy, FaZe Temper. I'd never heard
of him.
He fought before.
Yeah, so KSI ended up taking on FaZe Temper instead of Dylan Danis. FaZe Temper was originally on the card anyway. He was meant to fight... somebody else. There was someone on the undercard he was scheduled
to
fight.
It was a surprise. It was meant to be a surprise.
Was it his one that was the surprise one? Okay.
And then they switched it around.
So, FaZe ended up stepping in to take on KSI in the main event. FaZe has had 3 fights, I believe it is.
Something like that, yeah, he has had 3.
And I think his last fight was a fight against Slim, who was also on the card. And Slim knocked him out in that fight. So, it was a bit strange. I thought maybe Slim would end up fighting KSI, but... probably wanted a bit more time for each other if they wanted to build that fight up. But nevertheless, FaZe Temper stepped in, took on KSI, and yeah, it wasn't much of a fight, was it?
I know who these people are? Am I meant to know who FaZe is and who Slim is, as in like in the boxing world or not really at all?
Not really. I mean, they're just all guys from the YouTube scene, so...
A whole bag of names. I'm not
familiar with.
FaZe
Temper's like, comes from a gaming clan.
Okay.
Like FaZe, they made up the game clan FaZe.
Okay.
FaZe clan. And there's just loads of different ones.
Facebook. All right.
FaZe disc. Blu-ray FaZe.
All right, so Blue that FaZe. Is...
nah, I'm joking. But yeah, there's... Yeah. But he's decent. He's decent. He's had a few decent fights, but... KSI sparked him out in round one. Sort of like we said it as well, like that karate style. I thought he was kind of like reminiscent of Michael Venom Page. Even Wonderboy came out and tweeted afterwards.
Yeah,
I really like KSI's fighting style or something like that. Along those words,
I'm not even. I believe he actually tried to do the Michael Venom Page.
So do I. I think like. So as well.
So
it was really like that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like bouncing on his feet, hands were literally by his sides.
Yeah.
And the shot, the right hand and left was just boom. Beautiful.
Insane. Someone of his caliber, maybe you can't get away with all the time. You got away with it this time. Brilliant. It looked good as well. But I don't think you can expect for that to carry over into higher level opponents. Do you get me?
Yeah, definitely.
Not to take away from his win. like Cash said, first round knockout. It was fantastic. It's good to see. I'm not going to lie. I have a lot of respect for these guys that do get in the ring and do this, because
it's hard, man.
Camps are camps at the end of the day. You, even if you don't know what you're doing, you're still dropping everything you have, everything you know, everything you're doing to just go in there, seclude for what?
Six to eight weeks.
Do you get me?
Even longer in some
cases. It's a lot to be doing, kind of thing. So, you know, props to all these guys.
It's hard to start from scratch, especially if you're completely new to it. You don't know what you're doing. You're not only trying to make weight and get fit, but you're also trying to learn the sport at the same time. And it's difficult. It's really difficult, especially when you've got someone you've never seen before fight. Like, most of these guys are making debuts, or they fought once or twice. It's difficult to get a gauge on it. Like, you don't really know what kind of style it is or what's going to happen. So it's difficult. But no, props to all of them on the card. Props to KSI. It was a good card in general. He's bringing a lot of, like, again,
publicity, a lot of eyes to it.
So, and he's just trying to build up that fight with Jake Paul eventually, which he said he wants end of the year. He wants
to fight three times this year. That's mad. He's more active than some of these pros, man. But again, he's got the ability to do so, because camps require funding. He's got money. So, do you get it? It's like,
he's in tremendous shape as well.
He's in tremendous shape, but he's also in a very fortunate situation, because a lot of these fighters can't drop everything. A lot of these guys, because they don't get paid much, they have to be working. They have to be supporting themselves through other means and then just dropping everything for camp. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So he's very fortunate, but he's also got a bit of a cheat code, isn't it? All of these guys have that, because they've got the money to fund these things. And it's like,
and it isn't the worry about, is my card going to sell out?
Or, you get me?
Pay-per-views?
Absolutely not.
Like, you know, people are tuning in, whether they want to see them get knocked out or not. People are tuning in and they're selling out and they're having fun at these events. So, yeah. KSI, again, like we mentioned, wants to fight Jake Paul end of the year. Wants one fight in between that to be his second fight, obviously. Surprisingly, I didn't expect it, but I mean, I heard his name being mentioned previously, but I completely forgot all about him. It was Joe Fournier.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys aren't familiar with Joe, he's a business owner, former boxer. He still boxes, actually. He's got a decent record. He's only got one loss. I think he's at 12-1 or 13-1. You might remember him from, he had a exhibition match against David Haye a few years ago. But yeah, he's a notorious businessman. He owns those like different clubs and bars and stuff.
Yeah.
He's just, you know.
I mean,
he owns a couple of fitness companies as well.
Serious.
I think it is. Yeah.
So he's in the lifestyle. He's in that kind of.
But he's boxed professionally for a long time. He's won the, I think it was the WBA international, cruiserweight title or light heavyweight title, something like that. Let me just double check his record.
That's quite big stuff.
It's a step up. Huge step up. Well, his last fight was last year.
Okay, so you can't say he's retired because he's relatively.
Sorry, not last year. Well, 2021. We're in 2023 now, so. His last fight was in 2021, and he's 9-0.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 9-0, 10 fights, one no contest. That's what it was.
Okay.
He fought in April 2021, and but before then, he's 9-0, all 9 knockouts.
Right. I mean, that is quite a step up, man. I'm not gonna lie. So that's
it's interesting. It'll be really, really good.
100%.
Just because, like. In my opinion of all of this, the whole YouTube scene, So, Jake has fought. Yes, he hasn't fought boxers, but he's fought guys who are fighters.
Fighters, yeah, 100%.
And whether you like him, hate him, love him, like not, whatever, you have to give him the credit, because the guys he's fighting are tough guys who've been hit in the head for a living, who know how to take a shot, usually know how to ride a punch, and can handle the pressure.
Yeah,
it's nothing new to them. And KSI has fought guys like, you know, obviously FaZe and who did he fight before? Swarms and Pineda, who, you know.
You can't really, compare their caliber.
Although Jake hasn't been fighting boxers, he's been fighting fighters, athletes who have been in combat sports.
Swarms, for me, that just did not, that made zero sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he fought on the card yesterday as well.
Yeah, he won as well.
So, yeah, and brilliant, but like, That was pointless.
I think it was more two friends trying to get each other like a bag.
Trying to give him a leg up into the scene as well. Yeah, but 100%. I mean, that you know, props to him, because now he's doing it on a more consistent basis. He's had his second fight. But That was mad, innit? It was like, that didn't add anything to his, you know, level of credibility.
No. It was just fun. It was just fights in one night. The whole shtick of, you know, being there.
And one of them was a boxer.
Apparently.
And, well, yeah, exactly.
Well, he fought again on the card yesterday. Sorry, he fought on the card on the weekend. And he was the surprise opponent.
Okay.
So he came out in a Mexican mask, coming looking at Rey Mysterio. Came out, it was Luis Pineda. And he looked a lot better. He looked like he could fight. So I don't know if the first fight was just a bit of a, you know,
people could have been a fix or a setup. We don't know, man.
He came out and actually boxed and put a beating on the guy he fought and he won. So, yeah, it was a bit strange. But the step up for KSI is a big step up. Joe Fournier is a different kettle of fish to all of these guys. He's a fighter. He's been there, knows how to do it, lived the life. And we will see where KSI is at before he jumps into that Jake Paul fight. Because that Jake Paul fight, he said, it's that and he's done.
Yeah, yeah. For me, Joe Fournier might just be more credible than anybody. I know this is probably going to be controversial, but I don't, whatever. More credible than anyone that Jake Paul's fought.
Really?
Boxed against.
Okay.
Not saying that they're better than Anderson Silva, obviously. Tyron Woodley, obviously. Even Ben Askren. Mm. But I'm saying, as somebody who competes at that level that you said, it was a, whatever the, was it a WBA?
WBA international title, regardless.
That is, and that's a title, that's, you don't have to be amazing, but I know I can't get that title right now, do you get me? So I believe that that is actually somebody who's in the sport with a degree of grounding in the sport and you know, he's established. I think,
I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
You know,
I get it. No.
Convincingly,
if we're looking at specifically just boxing,
yeah,
purely off those credentials, then Joe Fournier is probably the best guy on a resume to have out of all of them.
Yeah.
If we're looking at names and fighters and what they've done, obviously you've got Anderson Silva, Tyron Woodley, Ben Askren.
Obviously.
But it's a different game, MMA. Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of these guys who come in, the striking is completely different. Yeah, Tyron Woodley's a striker and he's got knockout power. Anderson Silva. Anderson's probably the best out of all of them.
Yes.
Because he can box and he has boxed previously. But it's a different ball game. Yeah, you get a Muay Thai fighter in boxing, it's not the same. You get a kickboxer in boxing.
As soon as you disable one of your tools, it's not like the rest of your tools are improved. It's like, damn it, I don't have that. Now I have to depend on this. And there's like a, you're overconscious, do you get me? Mm-hmm. Of the fact that you can't kick, you can't grapple, you can't shoot. You understand? Mm-hmm. All you can do is punch. And it is definitely, it's a madness. But
I wanted to see KSI's fight go on a bit longer because I wanted to see
what he's got,
what he's grown, what he's developed, how he's learned and stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, again, as well for the show. So I guess against Joe Fournier, if that fight happens in the summer,
then it's like the acid test, 100%. I think that is the litmus test and it's like time to see what he's got.
How do you think the fight between KSI and Jake Paul goes now if they met at the moment?
The thing is, it's difficult because before, without that test of somebody like Joe Fournier, you can't really tell where KSI is actually. Do you get me? Like you said, we haven't seen enough of him. Everybody he's fought has made him look amazing, but that's because they're absolute garbage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think Jake Paul definitely right now has much more experience, much more ability, much more confidence because he's gone in against these guys. Do you get me?
Yeah.
But if KSI goes in against Fournier and beats him convincingly, puts on, you can't say a clinic, it won't be, but shows his ability, even if he gets through it and it's tough, then he might go into the fight against Jake Paul and think, yeah, you know what? I'm ready now because this is a legit boxer. Mm. He's ready.
I think he needs it because
he definitely needs
a lot
it.
Of the criticism that came when they did the little head-to-head afterwards and face-off and stuff and Joe came out was, who is Joe Fournier? But right now in KSI's development, basically the whole thing is KSI, Jake Paul is the end game. And he wants one fight before he fights Jake Paul.
And so that's literally very fair.
The only thing he can do now, forget about the name, forget about someone big and whatnot, because 9 times out of 10, if they're going to come from the YouTube scene, they're not going to be the best boxers. Get someone who's going to be the acid test.
And this is it. Or and this is it. If he could make the Tommy Fury fight, even that is a big
one. Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a discrepancy in weight there, though, isn't it? There must be.
KSI's quite heavy.
I think he just looks small to me.
They're all in and around the same or a similar
170
weight.
170 kind of thing or more? No, they're higher than that.
They're cruiserweights, no?
I don't know if...
So it's just, they're all in and around that. So
in the same kind of thing. All right, cool.
What you could do is KSI, Joe Fournier, Tommy Fury, Jake Paul, and then
imagine they both get panned. Then what?
You do Tommy Fury. Well,
you just do loser versus loser anyway.
No, but that's where it's heading anyway. It's heading to Jake Paul, KSI.
Yeah.
End of this year.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's either Jake Paul continue to do what he does, or KSI puts a nail in the coffin and moves on. And like you said,
that's more likely. Right now, that's looking more likely. I would say, you know, betting odds, it would have to be in Jake Paul's favour at the moment.
Until this reminds me of when David Haye came back and he was like to Eddie when he fought Tony Bellew in the press conference. I'm shutting down your whole establishment. Insane. I'm taking out Bellew, then I'm taking out Joshua, and Matchroom is done. And then I'm done. And that's what KSI wants. KSI really wants to take out one more guy, demolish whoever it is, and then get in with Jake Paul, finish Jake Paul, and then he's done. That's all it is. Doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
He's just got that Jake Paul fight in his mind. End it there. End the hype train and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I wish him the best, but I just right now I don't know if he's ready for it. We'll find out more. We'll have a better idea when he fights Joe Fournier. You get me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on that card as well, just before we go off of it, quick one. I want to give a big shout out to Salt Papi.
Bro. He's impressive, man. He's impressive.
Salt Papi got that Filipino power in that left hand. He's got that Nonito Donaire, that Filipino flash in him. The Pac-Man. They're just these fast, powerful southpaws.
You know, a lot of them, they are very much athletic just by nature, innit? They all batter basketball. A lot of them are into boxing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
They are very athletic
just,
people.
They're just an athletic nation. Yeah. So it kind of might come naturally to him. And I think you told me earlier, he's got a little bit of a background in amateur boxing as well. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I believe from what I've heard.
So if that's the case, then yeah, man.
I used to see videos of him because obviously he's known for the whole running,
that joke,
slow motion running thing. Yeah.
That is joke, man.
And then he transitioned into the salt stuff, which I still don't understand, but it is what it is.
I don't even know what it is. I don't know where he got his name from. What's the salt stuff?
Like it's just funny videos of him got salt in his hands and he licks his lips and goes, pouring salt into people's food.
So dead, man.
But there's videos of him that I've seen before all of this stuff started and he got into it, where he was like doing like fights, you know, like just random street fights with people in the park and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he'd start sparring with his boys or fighting with his boys, and I'm seeing him piece these people up.
Serious?
Or he's piecing them up. You can tell he's got experience. He knows what he's doing, the way he throws his shots. And the guy he fought, Josh, I don't want to butcher his name, but Josh Bruckner or... however you pronounce it. He's Josh is I don't know if he still fights, but he's a former MMA fighter. Okay. Bro, the guy is built like an absolute machine, bro.
Yeah.
I'm talking minus 5% body fat. 6'1", giant. And obviously I'm not saying size matters in this sense in fighting, because it doesn't.
Does it not?
But I'm just saying, like, he comes from an athletic background. Again, he's a fighter. He's fought before. He's been in the cage, and Salt Papi just toyed with him, took some shots. Was literally just
it was a beautiful having count. Fun. That was beautiful. Little,
and that left hand knockout was boom, was amazing. Straight down, nice. and Josh couldn't get up for the count, and Salt won. But KSI has been linked with Salt Papi. I don't think that fight will happen though. They're talking about him fighting King Kenny. They're talking about. I mean, Salt Papi really wants Jake Paul.
Yeah.
And then Jake Paul tweeted out something like, I will destroy you, or something like that.
I think Logan Paul called him out. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he goes, yeah, I really want Salt Papi.
No, Logan said, I really want to see Jake and Salt Papi.
Nah.
Yeah, he did.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Nah, maybe.
Logan said he wants to see Jake Paul fight Salt Papi, and then Jake tweeted straight after saying, like, I'll destroy him, or I'll do something to him, like beat him, whatever. But yeah, Salt Papi, shout out to you, brother. I want to see you go pro like Ryan Garcia said.
Sick.
He's good enough, bro. The Saulins.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're involved in it. Wasserman Boxing involved in this whole stuff as well. I feel like they might want to sign him.
Do you reckon?
I don't know. They really.
I mean,
like
I don't
him.
Know if that's the thing for him, because
he's taking it seriously. He's dropped a lot of weight.
Yeah, he has. He has.
But he's very good. Yeah. Very, very good.
I mean, they're seeing it. I wonder, that would be an interesting move, because if his career is set in the YouTube scene and he has no need to move over, he can just do these little cameos.
Yeah, but he enjoys
why
fighting.
Change, innit?
He enjoys it, so
yeah, that's boom.
That was fun.
Then we had, you know, on the other side of the world, in the UFC, Bit of a mad one because, unfortunately, our doppelganger, Kelvin Gastelum.
I do not look like out Kelvin Gastelum.
This guy, bruv, you love it.
Yeah. Why would I love looking like Kelvin Gastelum?
He had to pull out of the fight because he lost his tooth, obviously against Nasruddin Imavov.
By the way, how did he lose his tooth?
Sparring. Somebody kicked him too hard. Oh. I don't know. I can't remember. I think it was a knee. I think they said it was a knee. Henry Cejudo got on the phone to him straight after. He goes, "Why?" He goes, "I just come out of surgery." He had to have it stitched up and everything put back in.
I saw a photo of his
mad. Yeah. I think it was a knee in sparring. Which,
you see what Conor tweeted?
What?
he was sticking it on him basically, and then said, "Clean your mats with your dirty staph infection." Or something.
That's so bad.
He had like a, I don't know if it was on his cheek or something.
Ringworm.
I don't know what it was. It was just, I can't remember. But yeah.
That stuff is so bad and so common as well. But yeah, so
he was out there when I was in Thailand.
What? Who was? Gastelum.
No, there's a staph infection.
Of course, everyone's getting it there.
Yeah,
they're probably. It's just a breeding.
I found out at the worst time as well.
Did you catch it?
No, I never got it. Alhamdulillah, I was alright. They clean
to wash your game.
AKA they clean everything, like 100 times a day.
It's actually just always clean. Okay, good.
On it all the time.
Unfortunately, the people that you train with might not be cleaning themselves.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't know who you're training with. Randomness coming clapped. In and out all the time, and it's easy to catch it. You're sweating all day, and yeah. But I found out one of the guy I was training with, shout out Evan, we were rolling, we were doing jiu-jitsu, and after that finished, he goes to me, "I just remember, bro,
I've got stuff."
He's like, "Go straight home and shower." I was like, "All right, yeah,
I'm gonna."
I was gonna go home and shower now. He goes, "Yeah, do that right now." I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Bro,
I got crabs."
He's like, "Staph infections going around, man."
Okay, so you never had it. He was just
he was just telling me in advance. Like, just
that's
be careful.
Good. That's good. That's so bad as well, man.
Yeah, little fun story.
So yeah,
how I survived the staph infection in Thailand.
Flip it out, man. Yeah, bad stuff. Anyway, Kelvin Gastelum, Nasruddin Imavov. That was obviously we had a last minute replacement in Sean Strickland. So he ended 2022. On the main event, and he started 2023 on the first main event of the year. What a hero he was! He made it very clear in a lot of his interviews as well. Like, I was planning a skiing, a snowboarding holiday, a skiing holiday. Yeah. I've been just letting go, not ready, not planning on fighting.
Chilling out.
UFC made me an offer. The money was right, so I took it. And to be honest, I rate him for that. Stepped in last minute, saved the card. Number one. I don't want to ruin it. Do you want to? I know you like to build up to the.
No, we can just tell them what happened.
Go for it then.
Well, Sean Strickland stepping in on late notice, moving up to light heavyweight.
Oh yeah, moving up to light heavyweight. He was weighing 204 the night before.
Actually, weighed in more than Imavov.
Yeah, whole 10 pounds more.
And defeated Imavov. Imavov.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imavov.
By unanimous decision.
Yep. Put on a clinic
and just showed us what Sean Strickland's all about, man. Sean is just a fun, exciting.
He is.
And he's just a guy that everyone loves to see, man. He's just hilarious, goes in against anyone. And to be honest, listen, two losses in a row, both close, especially the last one where you thought you probably won it.
He was sure he won.
He was so fuming about that. Sometimes you're like, forget this, man. I don't even want to jump in right now. Obviously, he was saying.
You lose wind, didn't it?
He's just, yeah, exactly. Momentum goes, confidence can go, but he's not that kind of guy, man. Look at him. He was eating, chilling out, planning holidays, and said, you know what? Let me step in and do this. Come in. And again, a lot of people were writing him off, especially on the back of two losses. Mm. But it came in and sort of, because there was a bit of a hype train around Sean. Like, Sean was building up those wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Knocking people out, beating people up.
Alex Pereira changed that, bro.
And then Pereira obviously put an end to it. And then he sort of like, he kind of was like, is Sean really as good as we think he is?
Had me guessing, I'm not going to lie. Had me thinking, is he? But then losses, again, I hate this, these terms in it, but losses don't define the fighters, yeah? But or they don't define you like as a fighter.
No.
But again, that one was a close one. If he lost this one as well, built an excuse. To be fair, built an excuse.
He was expected
to
lose.
He didn't even come close to losing. So stock risen once again. doesn't take away too much from Imovov because he's still, what's his record? It's not, he ain't got that many fights in the UFC. He was a somewhat a rising star coming from the same, what are they called? Combat, what are they called? MMA Factory in France. Yeah.
France, yeah.
So, you know, like
a lot of those, Sirigan's,
yeah, Sirigan was there in the corner.
Sirigan's camp.
Yeah.
He's a training camp, yeah.
Oh, I forget the bear's name. He's got a Spanish name. He's African.
Yeah.
And he speaks French. It's the whole thing. Just it's the whole thing. Carlos or something like that.
Let me get it. He's on by the coach, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But came in. He was obviously game. He wasn't there to just get walking over.
He was game.
He was game. But he unfortunately came up short, was shown what high level or elite level, if you like, MMA is all about.
Yeah, Fernan Lopez.
Lopez, that's it. What did I say? I gave him some random Carlos Gomez. Yeah, Carlos Gomez. Some any generic Spanish name. But yeah, it was a good fight though. I'm very happy for Strickland. I'm not going to lie to you. The guy is wild, isn't it? In his interviews and in every other aspect of life. Which I
love
I
how
find
uncensored
funny.
He is.
He doesn't give a damn.
Yeah.
Did you see? I think it was the last fight of the world, the fight of last year, right? He was like, I walked into some store and I saw these two gays, and they were unconnected gays, yeah? As in like two gay men that have nothing to do with each other. And he's like, in my head, I'm just thinking, if you're gay, you just straight up get on with each other. These like didn't even like each other. Like, the whole story was so strange. And the fact that he came up with it in the media event, like it was like
random.
Media day.
Yeah, he just said so random. He's so random
he's
and crazy.
He's the wildest guy ever. I don't understand why he just... But it's mad. But yeah, onwards and upwards for him now. He's happy with that. Now he can go on his ski holiday. Now he can kind of enjoy it a little bit more. He's got a sweeter taste now.
Yeah.
And he's made a bit of money. So props to him.
Come back at light heavyweight and continue?
I don't know if he's going to do that.
He'll probably go back down to 185 and continue on. But you never know. You never know.
We'll see where that goes. I don't think he wants to fight at 205 anyway. I don't think that's his number. Mm. Not until he's a bit, maybe a little bit older, or just can't make the weight. But yeah, that was that. Then we had a couple of mad, just bombshell announcements that same night. And I was just like, getting shot from every angle. Probably going to have to start with the actual fight announcement, which is in March, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
March
4th.
March 4th. UFC. That's around the corner, blood.
It's literally less than like 6 weeks.
Sorry, 6 weeks away, yeah.
Yeah.
7 weeks.
March 4th, UFC 285, as reported by your boy Cash. On
he broke it first.
On Instagram. Breaking news. John Jones returns.
Imagine
at heavyweight.
That. Imagine that. He's
back. Johnny Bones
he's
is back.
240 plus. He's 240 plus, which means he's a big U right now.
He's a bona fide heavyweight. He's put on the weight. And now he returns to challenge for the heavyweight title against Cyril Garn.
Vacant heavyweight title, so it is
not Francis Ngannou, which was another surprise, another
what
bombshell.
A mad surprise. So where do we? Okay, we'll just do it like that first. Okay, well, I guess we're gonna have to delve a little bit into the Ngannou part, and we'll go back to the fight.
Yeah, mention
Ngannou has now been released by the UFC.
Crazy.
There was the whole week part that just gone. There was a lot of speculation. Obviously, I don't know, his grandma, his aunt, or something like that, wearing a PFL T-shirt. Which is random. I just thought, I'm not going to lie. I just, when they started saying, there's speculation in it. It looks like he's going to be moving to PFL. Is that subliminal? I just thought, nah, it's like, you know, when you go back home and you see guys in a T-shirt saying, if you find me, take me home to the nearest pub. Mm. Yeah. And it's like, they don't even have pubs around there. It's like, just not, the T-shirt don't make no sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just that, like they found it somewhere. Do you get me?
I know what you're saying.
But I mean, if that's a hint to him going to the PFL, that's interesting, but it's very, it's nuts, isn't it? You can see it coming. He was not happy, but I didn't see it coming. You get it? Mm. I thought, play hardball, no problem. You're going to get the money that you're after. But he said it's not just the money. It's the whole thing. And maybe he's a man of principles. He didn't like the treatment he had. You're not a kid at the end of the day. You're the baddest man on the planet. Do you get me? You want to be treated as such.
But let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. What was it that he was after?
He just said, money is one thing. 600 grand for his last fight, that's a lot of money. But I get it, when you're comparing, when you're pocket watching, unfortunately, you kind of have to do anyway, you realize that maybe you could be making more. I get it. sponsorship, he can't do that either. So that's a problem as well. It's like, look at me. People want to, like, they want to sponsor me. Let me get some money from that at least. No, we can't do it without you taking, without us taking a whole bunch of that money. Then it's like the treatment. I'm not a kid. I'm the baddest man on the planet. Do you get me? So I want to be treated with a certain level of respect, or the level of respect that I'm due.
But what was happening that he wasn't getting that respect?
I don't think he went into detail too much, but I think a few things is the sponsorship issue that he can't get. I think they take like 5% and then UFC eat the rest. Wow. Something mad like that. I think it's a mad amount. Like, you're not allowed to make too much money from them because we're giving you the platform. That's their argument, isn't it? We're giving you the platform. The only reason all those eyes are seeing you is because it's our promotion that you're on. So therefore, we deserve the majority cut. But at the same time, they're sponsoring me, or they're choosing to sponsor me. Therefore, I should get the majority cut. But I understand that you're giving me the little leg up. So I will reciprocate and we'll split it somehow. But I think they wanted to take the majority. It's like they were baby brothering him, innit? Mm. You know?
That's crazy.
It's a mad one. It's a mad one, but it's very interesting. So I think Pride got the better of him. He stepped down, basically.
Yeah.
The issue with that is
it's nuts though, because it's, sorry, just to cut you off, I find it crazy because, okay, we sort out the money issue, even though, you know, he wasn't happy with what they ended up offering him.
We don't know if that he wasn't happy with what they were offering. I think it was just beyond that. I think it was principles.
Okay.
Because Dana, sorry to cut you off now, no. Dana said the offer we made him would have made him the highest paid heavyweight in history, in UFC history.
He would have been getting paid more than Brock Lesnar.
More than Brock Lesnar. Do you get me? So that is not small money, but I don't think I don't think it was only the numbers that led to that decision.
This is where I was leading to at that point. Is, yeah. One thing I don't get about this Ngannou situation,
yeah,
is you're not going to get the same eyeballs anywhere else other than the UFC. Mm-hmm. Unless you go into boxing, which I don't see him doing anytime soon.
I don't think so.
One, you've ruined a super fight with Jon Jones, which you would have gone down in history for, because you're fighting one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
Essentially, the
of all time.
Only reason, sorry to, we're going to keep apologizing back and
just,
forth.
Just apologize.
The only reason just Jon Jones moved up to heavyweight, really and truly, the only reason we wanted to see Jon Jones move up to heavyweight is to see elite skill versus just elite strength and power. Do you get me? Brute force with skill, and definitely a skill set which is improving, as we saw against Cyril Garn. But elite skill in Jon Jones, GOAT, unbeaten, really and truly, just always finds a way to win, versus a complete
destroyer.
Now, we don't have that.
But this is what I'm saying, though. He's jeopardized it himself. Yes, I get what you know, you fight for what you believe, you fight for your corner, you believe you're worth this amount, X amount, whatever, you need to be treated like this, yes or no. Sometimes, got to bite the bullet, 100%. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, and get on with it. And you never know, you might beat Jon Jones, and then you become even bigger of a superstar. Then you're on the tip of everybody's tongue.
Not gonna lie.
No one can deny you anymore. It's just a bit crazy, the fact that, you know, you want the notoriety, you want the money and all this stuff, and then you want the fame and, like, the whole thing, and then the respect. You'll probably get well more respected at PFL, all these other places, because you are Francis Ngannou and you've come from the UFC. But that's it. It's because you've come from the
yeah,
UFC.
Exactly. They,
you're
again,
gonna
it's
get,
the platform
you're not
going
to get
from.
The platform again. You don't. MMA fighters all want to join the UFC. They all want to be headlining cards under the UFC banner.
He's not that close to retiring. He had another
contract.
He can
contract come back. Don't get twisted. It's just, we were speaking about it. You don't think Dana will take him back?
I don't think he would. I don't think principally. They it would have to make a lot of sense, and it would have to be with Jon Jones. And I really want that to happen, but it's just, I don't see it happening. And I had a point, man. But what was the point? Bloody hell.
Come on, you can do it.
I can't remember now. I'm getting old, bruv. I'm getting old. But again, the reason why Jon Jones moved up, the reason why we wanted to see Jon Jones move up was to see this happen.
You want to see fight Ngannou, yeah.
It's now changed, you know, everything, if you like. Ah, flip, man. I've forgotten.
We'll come back to you when you.
It will come at some point, and I'll just cut you off because I'm trying to be polite here, and not cut you off anymore. Fine. But we're just, you get me. But yeah, I mean, so that's the Ngannou point. Okay, sad to see him go, but he made his decision. I don't think he's gonna. He might make the same. He might make better money, like you said. It's not enough exposure, whatever. But that's it, Bav. Something's wrong with me because that's three times it's come and just gone.
It's gone again.
It's gone again.
Oh, damn.
It's got to do with the John Jones, obviously, and Ngannou fight.
Let me just say something random in the meantime. With the Ngannou being the Ngannou release and all this stuff, now that means that.
I got it.
I gone. Before you
see lost. It's lost its meaning now, yeah? But what I would have done,
yeah,
if I was Ngannou, I would have agreed. Okay? Regardless.
Okay.
Trained as hard as I could, yeah? Already, doesn't matter, pay me whatever you're gonna pay me. I'll negotiate whatever to put up a fight and see what I can get, and then do my goddamn best to win. Yeah, beat John Jones and then walk away. If you want to hurt Dana that much, that's what you do. Do you get me? You defend the belt, you defend the belt, beat his cash cow, and then you drop everything, even if it incurred a fine. If it's about principles, do you get me? If it's about principles. And about treatment, then you do that if you really want to hurt him.
It would have made.
I would have. That's me personally. Yeah, I would have done that. Idea. If it's not money, that was the issue because you got paid more. Agree to that and break whatever contract you have to break to get out of it. I don't know how it works. Maybe there's a fine you incur. Pay it and leave. Do you get me?
Yeah, that would have been.
Don't come back.
It would have put. It would have made. It would have built him up as well. Yeah. Everyone. I'm sure everyone wants him now anyway. But beating John Jones and leaving.
Oh mate, all other promotions would be fighting for him.
It's like when CM Punk beat John Cena and left with the title. Could have done that.
Yeah,
everyone wanted CM Punk. But what I was just about to say is, now with Ngannou being released and him relinquishing the belt, the three African kings.
Oh boy,
the domination of Africa has been disbanded now.
Completely.
Kamaru Usman lost the title. Israel Adesanya lost his title. And now Francis Ngannou's lost his. So it's just UFC Africa, which was a big plan of Dana's and everyone's. It's kind of just...
I don't think that stifles his plan,
You can
though.
Still do it. But I think you can still do it. Imagine having all three of them as champions.
All three of them, like, headlining, basically.
Well, they all agreed that Ngannou would headline it.
Really?
They all said it, yeah.
It makes sense, heavyweight, innit?
Heavyweight and stuff. But
he's just... Them two Nigerians are fuming.
It's upsetting. It's upsetting.
To be honest, having Usman and Izzy...
If they win their titles back, who knows? You could still do it and Ngannou might come back. You never know. Again, it's MMA world is a big world, but it's also a small world.
It is,
And these guys can come back all the time. And you never know. Business, money talks.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes sense, Dana, I'm sure Dana will put his pride to the side for this one and bring him back. And the same with Ngannou. Same with Ngannou. But yeah, going back to Jones and Ciryl Gane, what a fight. We briefly touched on it a few times, and stylistically, I think it's a more difficult matchup. But when I started to think about it more, it really depends on Ciryl Gane and if he has learned from his mistakes and worked on his wrestling, because. If Ngannou took you down at will and just he didn't really do anything but laid on top of you, someone like John Jones with his grappling ability, with his ability to submit, his attacks on top, slicing your face, elbowing everything, you don't want to be in that position with John Jones and it could turn into a mauling. So, you know, I think it's a difficult fight as they stand up and they stay on their feet. Because Ciryl Gane is such a technical fighter. This is going to be a chess match.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an amazing, amazing fight.
All right, let me give you two sides of the same coin, yeah?
Please do.
Okay. So, Ngannou improved his wrestling. No shadow of a doubt. Yeah? But his power and his strength lent him that ability to take down Gane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to control Gane just by laying on top of him. Okay. Obviously a little bit more than just laying on top of him, but you understand what I'm trying to say, yeah?
Yeah.
Boom. So, John Jones doesn't have that strength and ability.
The size you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be close. It may be in size. He says he's going to be 240. 240 is a huge number. The limit is 265, isn't it? So, well, Ngannou comes in at 260. He's going to be heavy, yeah? But you, I don't think we can say, and I don't know in it. Like, I would love to say otherwise, but I don't think we can say that Ciryl Gane and John Jones are close in IQ and ability and skill. I just think that amongst all heavyweights, Ciryl Gane is the most actually credibly skilled, or he's a skilled fighter. Yeah, John Jones, Ngannou relied on his power, yeah, up until recently, and even still relies on his power. Derek Lewis, Tai Tuivasa, this Russian fella, Pavlovich, okay, he's looking good. This is like the new age now of heavyweights. Curtis Blaydes he's got skill. These guys...
But Blaydes relies on wrestling a lot. So you're talking about a very well-balanced fighter. I'm
just
saying, fighter.
Yes, actual skill, not just dependent on their power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't think that their levels are close. I might be wrong, but I place John Jones on a very high level. You get me?
As does everyone.
Exactly. But...
The GOAT.
Past few fights have been supposedly questionable, arguable, if that, you know, if anything. But I think... Now it's like, okay, boom. This is a bit of an acid test. I just wanted to see skill versus power. Which one wins?
Okay.
Do you get me? So it's taken away from it. I'm very happy for Gane. Whoever wins this wins the heavyweight belt. Both of them deserve it. Do you get it? I think John Jones is going to walk in, whatever weight he is, 240, and leave 248 pounds, bro. He's taking that belt. He's adding his weight on him. Bopping out. Do you get me? Thank you, sir. Thank you. I had to explain it to him. I can see him lost.
On that note. No, I got it. That's why I was just like, good? Wow.
Wow.
His old mind.
The cogs were spinning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the case, man.
So you think Jones wins comfortably?
Right now, I'm going to say, yeah, I believe that's the case.
Okay.
I really want it to be competitive.
See, this is where I disagree with you.
Okay, boom.
I think... Ngannou was an easier fight for John Jones. And the only reason I say this is I believe if he got taken down, he would have got back up easier.
Who would have got back up?
Jones.
Yeah.
If Ngannou managed to get him down, which exactly. probably could have because of his size and okay. just brute strength.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jones would have been able to get up. He would have been able to defend from those positions and also attack from those positions, whereas Ngannou was just sort of being laid on and didn't really know what to do. He looked a bit clueless in those positions. Mm-hmm. And I think if Jones stays away from the power, which you can do, it's been done before. Stipe Miocic has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Gane did it. I think Jones has better IQ than both of them. And I think defensively is probably better.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have been able to do it. And if you stay away from that and don't get laid on top of five rounds, I don't see how Ngannou beats you. Whereas Ciryl Gane, in my opinion, can outpoint you.
Yeah.
I think he can. If they stay standing up, it's a very difficult fight because Gane is quick, fights from different angles, can fight southpaw, fight orthodox, throws punches, he's got power in his shots, don't get twisted. Obviously, he's not Ngannou power, but he's got power, he's a big guy.
Oh, he's got a lot of
his
power.
His kicks are mean, he's just so good. And I think because of that reason, unless Jones just takes him down consistently and toys with him, it's going to be a difficult fight. And I think, in my opinion, it's a harder fight than Francis Ngannou.
Okay. I'm not even disagreeing. I'd never disagreed in the first place.
You didn't. I know you didn't.
It's a harder fight. But I think Chael calls it the John Jones experiment. Yeah. Moving up to heavyweight and fighting the most powerful man on the planet. That was the attraction. Now it's almost like, okay, he was just bored of beating all the light heavyweights, moved up to heavyweight, see, you know, challenging himself up there. Boom, I get it. And it's a big jump in weight, right? But the whole point, and it just seems like a waste of 3 years.
Nah,
the whole point
no way.
Was
Don't
for
say
me
that.
To see
you're
John
crazy.
Jones and how he fares. And you're right, it is an easier fight, potentially. But just like with Tyson Fury, for example, and Wilder, yeah, can levels of skill... Or that's, you know, superior levels of skill, can they beat a knockout artist, an absolute guaranteed.
Okay, so I'll give you an example of that.
Yeah.
What you're saying is basically Alexander Usyk, cruiserweight, super skillful, if not one of the greatest of all time, probably is one of the greatest of all time, definitely is, going up against Deontay Wilder at heavyweight.
Okay, well, let's see it. We haven't seen it, but yeah, that is how I view it. Now, but Usyk is a bit more of a credible heavyweight though, because now he's a heavyweight. He's a heavyweight, and he's proven it at least against. Okay, so
but what I'm saying is, it doesn't make John Jones's 3 years a waste. It's not his fault that Ngannou's gone and done that.
Yeah, of course it's not. That's what I'm saying. But no, I'm not saying it's a waste. It's like in my head, that was his training camp. Now his fighter's pulled out, and he's got a random, you know, replacement. That's how I view it.
But I think this is a harder fight. I think this is more of a
statement against Ngannou. This is what I'm trying to say. It was a bigger statement if he came in and said, "I have your king's head." Do you get me? You know?
No, I get what you're saying.
That's what I wanted. But now it's like, okay. But
is that only because he's powerful and he's Ngannou?
But that's because he's the predator, yeah.
Okay.
Do you get me? That's the only thing.
But again, I'm seeing it as a purist, and I'm saying, you're coming up and you're beating Cyril Garn.
Who? Cyril.
Cyril.
Lucky Charms Garn.
You're coming up and beating Cyril Garn.
Yeah.
Bro. You do that, 100%, then no one's going to beat you.
100% skill. So now they're closer.
Because I don't see anyone else beating Cyril Garn.
Can you stop calling him that, please?
How'd you say?
Cyril.
That's what I said. What am I saying? Cereal. Did I actually say cereal? I didn't say cereal.
Nesquik Garn.
I said cereal.
Mav.
I was saying cereal.
Cereal Garn. Yeah,
100%. Well, who said cereal? I'm saying
John Jones
is saying cereal it. Game. Cereal Gain. Cereal Garn. Cyril Garn. I think beats everybody. I need to see more of Pavlovich.
Yeah.
But we'll get to Ivan Drago soon. But Cyril Garn, I feel like if Jones beats him, I think it's more of a statement than beating Ngannou.
I think it being more of a statement. 100% disagree.
Ngannou, the win over Ngannou is more like.
It was a statement, bro. It was, I'm here.
Nah.
Where are you? Bring me your equal. Do you get it? But they don't have an equal.
We'll have to see.
IQ-wise, skill-wise, 100% Cyril Garn is you know, higher in level than Ngannou, but not higher than in level than Jones. It's going to be sick. I'm looking forward to it. I want both of them. I'm happy for whoever takes that belt because I like both of them very much.
Same.
I like Cyril Garn. He's just such a smooth, cool, humble guy. You get it? Yeah, you can add it to my list, yeah? He's a humble guy.
Michelle Pereira, Ryan Garcia, man. Serial gain.
But yeah, man. Looking forward to that. What else is there? Is there anything else that we were looking to cover?
We could just quickly touch on it. Excuse me. My throat is just bullied.
Keep it that way.
It's been announced that UFC London will be headlined.
Ah!
Headshot.
See you soon.
Dead.
Boy.
Leon Edwards will defend his title against Kamaru Usman.
Looking forward
in
to
the trilogy.
Well. Mad. When did he say it was? March what? Is it March?
Let me check.
Oh, he broke the mic. Bite the mic. But yeah, that is in March, 100%, I believe. Everything's going down in March. March is going to be an intense month where if you pay for your pay-per-views, you're going broken that month. If you live in the UK or you know, you're going to go to the fight in London, which we're planning on, you're going to be bullied. But I'm very excited for that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to give you an early prediction, yeah?
Yeah, March 18th.
March 18th, a week later. What? No, March,
two weeks later,
yeah?
2 weeks later.
Give you an early prediction. I'm going to say Leon retains that belt. And he's going to retain that belt because he has fought tooth and nail to get it in the first place. He's not giving up easily. But on the flip side, you've got Kamaru Usman, who was just literally lapping the whole division, had a slip. It was a mistake which he makes all the time, so often that they were able to game plan for it and literally won the fight just because of that mistake. If it weren't for that, he would have lost his attempt at taking that belt, and Usman would have retained it again, defended it again. Usman's going to come back on a new level because that is his mentality.
Yeah.
But Leon Edwards is not giving it up easily. He's not giving it up easily. It is going to be crazy. I think that's going to be a mad fight.
No, it's probably going to be, if not one of the fight of the year, John Jones and Gone. And then 2 weeks later, you've got the trilogy. This is probably going to be the best fight of all three because Kamaru's going to come out and want to make a statement.
Exactly.
He's going to want to win that belt back in fashion. And it's in London.
Blood.
And then Leon's at home. He's got that home support. And Leon's going to want to be like, yeah, I am the man.
Yeah.
I took out pound for pound.
Now look at me now. Yeah. Now look at me now. Get me.
He's going to now look at him now.
That's what he says.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be such a good fight. I can't wait for it. Honestly, I can't wait. I can't call a prediction yet because I think it's too, I don't know.
I don't think it's too early. I think my heart is just going to say Leon Edwards is taking that fight. But the brain must factor in Usman's, his ethos. Listen, just, and his ethics, his work ethic and his determination.
If we minus the head kick before that, the fight, apart from maybe the first round, Kamaru was pretty dominant and comfortable.
100%.
And in nearly every single one of his fights, he's been pretty dominant, been pretty comfortable, obviously excluding Colby Covington. Mm-hmm. But Kamaru is just one of those types of fighters.
I firmly believe it was so the altitude that was an issue. I firmly believe that. Where did they fight again? Omaha, Nebraska, or something like that. Where did they fight? Salt Lake City. So I'm a firm believer. I do. If that's just like an excuse or whatever, I don't know. But it makes a lot of sense. Usman is used to that. So for him, he was just breathing normally. The fight before that, what's his name? Come on, man. Against Paulo Costa.
Rockhold
retired, okay, because he thought he didn't have him anymore. He didn't have it in him anymore. I believe it wasn't that. I believe it was the attitude which led him to think, I ain't got the lungs for this. I haven't got the ability. I don't have it anymore. He has it. He's coming back anyway. He's announced it. He's pretty much coming back. He's teased it. But yeah, I think it was the altitude. I think that Leon Edwards in London is going to be far better than what we saw that night. Obviously, he would have to be anyway. And I think he's coming back because
it's
going to
be raining and snowing outside, blizzards.
Is it
going to
be open top?
No, it's O2 Arena, I think. So it'll probably be closed. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, like that.
Exactly.
One day it's snowing.
Usman's going to be chapping. He's going to be like, what is this? And Edwards is used to it. For him, this is the Bahamas.
Yeah, exactly.
You get me? So I think it's going to be a madness.
Can't wait.
I'm very excited. And it's around, that's what I'm saying. So all these announcements yesterday or over the weekend, what an exciting quarter we have.
I was just about to say, what a way for Dana to bounce back.
Hello?
Controversy last week. Flipped on his head and no one's going to talk about it.
That's what I'm saying. He's like,
big
guys,
fight after big fight.
Idea generators, I need you lot to get the heat off me now.
Yeah.
I need you lot to get the heat off me. Let's get rid of Ngannou. Let's have John Jones fighting Cyril Gane. Let's confirm. I don't care if his hand is still broken. Let's get Usman in. He has to come true. Give him a bionic arm. Do you get me? He just said, let's just get all the heat off me now. I've had enough.
And that was all the best fights.
And it's looking like an incredible year. And I know that I say this every year. I'm like advertising. I'm advertising for UFC. But I'm telling you, it literally gets better and better. And I just can't wait.
Yeah.
On that note, guys, this has been episode 56 of the Sweet Science Podcast. I've been Fat Mouse.
I've been Cash with a K and not a C. Make sure you comment. Subscribe, and definitely share it.
Let's give them a second because I feel like they just think, oh, let's hear them talk, but not comment or subscribe or like. Can you just like it, please? Can you comment, please? And can you subscribe now?
Right now. And also, don't forget, like I said many, many times, share it.
Like it.
Share it.
Follow us on all the social media.
Everywhere.
Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, link is in the bio. All the ads,
everything's everywhere.
Everything is downstairs.
Watch it on YouTube, and then listen to it on the other thing. It's called
Podbean.
No, yeah, that's what we upload to. But what's it called?
Oh,
Spotify.
Spotify.
If you ain't got Spotify, we've got Google Podcasts. If you ain't got Google Podcasts, you've got Apple Podcasts. Yeah. If you ain't got them, just Google it and just find it. Because just it helps. It. I'm not going to lie to you, it helps, innit? It helps us. So we appreciate it. Mm. And even if, I swear down, this is the advice I give to people. Even if you've seen it on YouTube and you've invested your 1 hour or just under an hour to watch it, yeah, And I know you can't minimize it and carry on with your life because no one's paying for YouTube Premium. You can do that, but do us a favor and just have it on in the background on Spotify also. You can run it on 3.5 speed. You don't even need to hear us. But just do it because the numbers help us. Yeah. Numbers are numbering.
Just don't forget to do it. It's not hard. Make sure you do it. It gives us the support we need mentally, physically, all the shebang. And anyway, just do it. We love you guys. And boom, also,
bam.
Remember, before we bam. Go, wait, I have what? To do this. The reason I need you lot to subscribe, to comment, to like, to share it is because we are the best podcast around.
No one's going to ever keep me down.
That's it.
I don't like this, but I'm not going to ruin his moment. You get me?
I've been wanting to do it, but I've been wanting to play this.
But we never find it. We just can't find it. Even though we watch the whole thing, there's a point where our mind switches off when we edit. And he wants to insert this in. Go for it. You done it?
Should I do it now?
Now.
Thanks for watching, guys.